What is going on, people? Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Most High Show, and my name is David, and I am your host. I'm also an addict, but that's not all I am. You hear me? We got a great, great show today. We got a, we got two virtual seats of service. We'll call it, you know what? We'll call it the love seat of service. The virtual love seat of service tonight, because we have two guests visiting us via Zoom tonight, and we are going to be having a great discussion. This is going to be more
It's a love seat because two people fit in it.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it.
You get it? It's a double. Okay. It's a double seater.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, we're going to have, this is going to be more of an information topic discussion we're going to have, and it's going to be all about fentanyl. It is a hot topic and it needs to be discussed more, and we are blessed to have a platform like the Most High Show to get into some in-depth conversation with my brother Mike and my sister Andrea after this, folks.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope they want to share with you. If someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
All right. Welcome back, folks. That was the intro. All right. All done by my brother, Reverend Christian Jansen. In fact, all this stuff is done by my brother, Christian Jansen. All the lights, the signs, the ability for us to, discuss things with people coast to coast, kind of, you know what I mean? But in the decadent virtual love seat of service today are two people coming, one from Denver and one from Cali, I believe, if I'm correct. We got Andrea. And we have Mike Fiore from Inspire to Inspire. Man, they are making moves in fentanyl awareness. They are getting the word out, and we are honored and blessed to have you both on the show. Welcome.
What's up, Mike? What's up, Andrea? Thank you.
Absolutely, man. So how's everything going today for y'all?
This is another good day. It's always a good day when I get to see Mike and talk to you guys. So this is a good day.
Awesome. Awesome. Mike, how are you doing, brother?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I ain't got to wake up. I ain't got to chase a bag. Hey. I ain't got something controlling my life. I'm able to wake up, put my two feet on the ground, and, you know, be happy that my feet are hitting the ground. My eyes are waking up. So, you know, it's a beautiful day, like Andrea said.
Yeah, man. Again, man, we thank you both for being here. And one of the things that I really want, I think the best way to start this off is, because we have so much to discuss tonight, is just Andrea, with you first. Would you guys mind introducing, like, you know, what you do and what part of the movement in this fentanyl awareness that you play?
Sure. So I'm the co-founder of Voices for Awareness Foundation and Facing Fentanyl. Voices for Awareness brings prevention to the public. We warn people about the dangers of illicit fentanyl, and we work with affected families and every issue related to illicit fentanyl prevention. And with Facing Fentanyl, it's a coalition of organizations all over the country that are just like mine, trying to get out there and reach people and working together.
I love it.
With Facing Fentanyl, we have the National Day. We had our first National Day August 21st this year.
And that's just amazing. So, I mean, that is amazing, man. I just love that. I mean, was that a grinding process to get it to that level of awareness?
You know, you're just always, there's an urgency for us to spread this message. And so one late night, we come up with the idea and put it out there to all of our organizations. And in 4 months, we had this National Day and spread it from one coast to the other. Wow. And so I'm hoping this next year we can do even more. I know we will do even more. And it's just the power of the people, right? The power of the voices. And the determination, you know, just like Mike, his determination, if he calls me up and says he can do one thing in the morning, he's done 30 by the end of the night.
Yeah. And that brings us to my brother, Mike, man, making power moves out there in the streets. You're all over the place. Mike, fill us in on what's going on with you.
So first and foremost, I thank you and Chris for your platform, because things that Andrea and I are doing and other people like us, we wouldn't be able to get it out there without our voice being heard. So your platform is a place for our voice to be heard. And you guys are bringing the awareness by allowing other people to do what they're doing in real life and bring it to your listeners. So first and foremost, I do want to thank you guys for that. I am CEO and founder of Inspire to Inspire. Provide many things, and you know, I guess I'm more of a man of action, right? So what I'm able to help Andrea with, and Andrea, we're connecting the families affected by fentanyl, the ones that are losing their loved ones and their children, with addicts that are surviving, that have survived it, and you know, prospering after the mental illness and addiction. So what I bring to the table, so let me just give a little insight.
Bring it in.
You know, a little public service announcement to our President Joe Biden, right? 9/11, right? The lives lost in 9/11, it probably more now, but every 2 weeks, the same amount of lives are lost in the United States as in 9/11. And I was in New York City at 9/11. Either you knew someone that died in 9/11 or you knew someone who knew somebody. That's the same thing that's going on with fentanyl right now. Wow. You either know someone that died from it or you know someone else that's died from it. And after 9/11, what happened? We had a national security risk, right? This is a national security risk right now, this fentanyl. Instead of sending money overseas and want to help everybody else and cut their lawn, why don't we start fighting the war that's within our borders? Because we're losing our children, we're losing our brothers, we're losing our sisters, mothers, fathers, everything, and they're our future, the children. And it's unnecessary. So instead of sending all this money everywhere else, why don't we start helping? And if you don't help us, understand this, we're Americans, man, and that means something. If you don't help us, we will unite and we will do this without you. So President Biden, either jump on this ship us or get out of the way so we can sail on behind you.
Love it.
Yeah. Well said, love my man. Yeah. Well said, dude.
Well, I think that's a great, I think to begin to dissect this for listeners and for people, let's kind of zoom out a little bit. And I think one of the primary issues why overdose and teasing out.
So real quick, I don't mean to interrupt. So we like to use the word poisoning.
Well, I got you, Mike. I got you, player. I got you, player. Just let a player make his moves. You know what I'm saying? This ain't my first time.
Can we eat?
This ain't my first time cracking the mic, dog.
Can we eat? We're going to get there. Trust me, brother. We're going to get there.
Right. So how I think we get to this place, right? Yeah. This is why I want to tease this out, right? Because you have overdoses. Yes. Right. And we've been using that term and we've been hearing about overdoses for a long time. And drug addicts have been overdosing since there were drugs that we could overdose on.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when we talk about this, we talk about it in terms of overdose.
Right. Right. That definition.
Right.
Right.
So what happens is that gets kind of lumped over to this group of society.
Yeah.
The scourge of society.
Right.
The people who...
People like me.
Yeah. People like me.
Right.
People who were like, okay, well, you didn't have to start using drugs. You started using drugs, and now you've kind of made your own bed.
Right.
And you're sleeping on it.
You're that's kind of
speaking to the American culture.
Right.
Speaking to America, right? The way America does things, right? We take care of our business.
Categorize.
And if you're dying because you're taking too many drugs, then that's you not taking care of business.
Right.
You get kind of put over here.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is there's a complexity to the issue now.
Specifically with this fentanyl.
With illicit fentanyl.
Yeah.
And the way that illicit fentanyl is getting introduced, it's like Mike said, people are being poisoned because they're taking something that they don't know has fentanyl in it. So that's
trick.
Like, to me, like talking point letter A.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
Because there's a huge stigma of addiction, and Mike is out there and his organization's out there crushing. And that's what one of our mission statements for us
without
is crush the stigma of addiction. to understand that someone in recovery is not the same as someone in active addiction. Mm-hmm. And so when we start to look at this, I think it's important. Number one is that I think one of the reasons why it's gone on this long is because when we talk about this, we talk about overdose.
Right.
Right. And if you look at 2020, right, and you look in the CDC statistics, mm-hmm. right, it's not put in there as a poisoning.
No.
It's not put in there as manslaughter.
They call it overdose.
They call it overdose.
Yeah.
And that's the thing where I think we got to start. Number one is understanding that the way we treat and the way we treat kind of like the bottom of the barrel in our society,
right,
is it speaks to the way that we kind of care for our society as a whole.
Yeah, and I love Mike. I love that you call it poisoning, because if it's just factored in to people in addiction doing dope, but it's fentanyl instead of like heroin, right? Then that's that whole part of society. But with this thing, that's why we, like, you know, Christian said, we have to tease this out and really separate what's the added part to this that is so vital to it getting a national attention, that people are being poisoned without even knowing what's going on, and they are dying from it. You know what I mean? Yep. If something was put in your lunch boxes, okay, you know, if all the Twinkies had, you know, poison in it, you know what I'm saying, and it was aimed at that, you know, your kids going to school, it would be a national, like, something would be going down on a big level to stop the production of Twinkies. Yeah. So in reality, it's this, I'm talking about the same thing with the poisoning of people being poisoned by fentanyl, man. Do you agree, Mike?
100%. And I agree with Chris, right? So you hear the word overdose. What do people first think of? They think of addicts, right? Yeah. The definition of overdose is the excessive use of drugs, right? Mm. A half of a pill is not an excessive use of drugs. It's a poison, right? So, you know, it's not an epidemic. It's not a pandemic. Like, this right. is a plague, man. We're being exterminated. Yeah. But the way they use their verbiage is, if you're not an addict, you don't think this is going to happen to you because you're hearing the word overdose.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not an addict. Even recreational users are dying. Young kids, one and done, are dying. Like, no one's exempt from this, but they don't want us to see it like that, right? You know, they're very good at using certain words to get us, you know, to manipulate our thoughts. They're very good at using the press, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it's exactly that. Like, it's a poison. A half a pill is not an excessive use of drugs. And you know what it is? More people that are dying from fentanyl it's not the addicts that are really, it's the ones that aren't addicted, because our tolerance is so high that we're able to withstand a lot of fentanyl. I was in treatment with a guy, older gentleman, black guy. His hair when he came in was gray. After 3 months, his hair went back to black. I mean, he was full gray, dude. Wow. But because of all the fentanyl he was on, he was doing straight fentanyl. But us addicts, we have that tolerance.
Yeah.
These young kids, you know, and I don't even like to say it's laced with fentanyl, because even if you say it's laced with fentanyl, mm-hmm. you might not think that you'll get the one that's laced with fentanyl. Let's really say what it is. It's fentanyl sprinkled with cocaine now. It's heroin. You know what I'm saying? It's fentanyl sprinkled with heroin. Heroin's going to be obsolete real soon. There ain't going to be no more heroin on the street, man. I'm guaranteeing that.
Yeah, I know that that makes total sense. You know, in active addiction, there's addicts out there looking for fentanyl. Okay, that's a whole different category of stuff going on. Now, rather than, you know, kids doing other things, you know what I mean, they have no idea with whatever they're doing that there's this deadly poison inside of what they're ingesting, and they're dying from it because they just don't know. That's two totally different things right there, and that has got to be separated. You know what I mean? So, Andrea, now, within this whole thing, now, what was you, I know we had you on the show, but what was the it was your daughter, right?
Yes, Ashley.
Yeah. Now, and your audience, well, now, but it's more than just families now, because it's everybody that you guys are getting this message on. But you are a mother of a daughter that passed away from fentanyl, right?
Yes. So I lost Ashley, 32 years old, in 2018, and there was just no information out there. I had no clue what fentanyl was. Yeah. And so I see the picture of these two blue pills, and I start getting information. And what I was finding out is that there were so many people dying, and started meeting other families, other people like me. And so these organizations all over the United States, they go out, they tell their stories. You're telling your most personal story, right, about your child that you lost. Yeah. That is not the natural progression of life. You know, these are shocking things to us, and they're very hurtful, very, a lot of people grieving, but they go out there and they share their stories because it's so devastating. They don't want it to happen to anybody else. So that's why we do what we do. And, you know, I love hearing you guys talking about this and understanding our take on this, because we really started this terminology with poisoning, affected families did. And we saw this drug as a different way. We saw it, you know, it's the worst drug out there. And it's affecting our country, surely, in a different way than many other drugs did. And so I always want to tell people, it's not that fentanyl, you know, all drug deaths are important, right? Everybody is important. That's not what we're saying here with fentanyl. It's just that it's something like we've never seen before. And there's worse things coming. That's the bad part.
Wow.
And I can't even imagine that, but it's the truth. So when I hear Mike talk and so many people in the recovery community talk about this in the same terms as we do, it's fantastic, because we're out there struggling, trying to get people to understand the difference. And Mike can break that down so easy for everybody to understand.
No, he does a great job.
That's great.
And that's the information. Again, like, I'm glad, I'm really happy that Christian brought that up. So is the camera on me, Jeff? Okay. So people, listen, okay? If you're tuning in and you're having an issue with comprehending what we're talking about here, we are talking about a poisonous substance being put into different pills and other things that are being used to like cut drugs in a stronger way, but it's actually killing people and they don't know it. Nobody knows it. Rather than me in my active addiction, I hear fentanyl's around, I'm running after that because I'm in my active addiction. And that's one thing. Not that if I would die from that, not that it's any less of a tragedy, but when it's done to when it's used as a poison to in trickery, you know what I mean? I like that you said, Mike, that it's not laced with fentanyl. It's fentanyl laced with other things.
Yeah.
Really, that's the base of it. You know what I mean? And I don't really understand, it's something hard for me to wrap my head around that, because it, you know, I'm used to, when I think of cutting stuff, it's always with a diluted thing to make it bigger. So this is not that. This is I guess it has to be cheaper in some sorts to make that much of it. I just don't know maybe you can talk about the psychology about it. Like, why do that? Why put it in because of the addictive quality in it? Is that why it's being used like it is?
It's so deceptive. Okay. You're putting these pills out there that look like prescription pills. And when they first started coming in, that's what people thought. They resembled these M30s that were legit pills.
Yeah.
And we've seen this, the progression of this. I've seen it over the last 4 years, the way that the pills are being made. You know, this week, there are candy packages put out that look exactly like a leading brand of candy that's out there for young kids, and they're packaged fentanyl pills. They're deceptive. They're purposely made to be so addictive. You know, when Mike says one and done, if you make it through, then you're addicted. I mean, that's how fast this is happening. So all for the dollar. I mean, deceptive, addictive, these kids have to know. And these candy color rainbow pills that are coming out everywhere and now in candy packaging, What do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I don't I just don't even get that. I don't get that. It's just hard for me to understand that move.
And I think we talked about the Tylenol last time. I'm not sure, but you know, years ago, those 7 packages of Tylenol took out 7 people, and the feds came in and they started investigating this right away. And that was a big story. And we're losing hundreds of people a day and no one's talking about it.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind that that can even be. Where is our respect for human life at all? And so Mike comes out and he's talking to the president. This is true. We need people to pay attention. Look at COVID. During COVID, you schooled an entire nation, right, in a few days on how to wash their hands, stay 6 feet apart, use hand sanitizer, wear a mask. Everybody knew it in the first week.
Yeah.
And our kids don't know about fentanyl, and we need to step it up. We need to do better.
Yeah, so you know that whenever you talked about, so I don't know if Mike may know my man. He's been on the show before too. His name is Narcan Nate, and he has a.
Yeah, I know Narcan Nate.
Yeah, and he has, you know, he's doing big things in Cali as well. He's like, he has an he gives Narcan training courses. He's always on IG. You know, he knows a lot. And he was talking about, because one thing that I would really want to like tooth out too in this whole thing is the misinformation of it. You know what I mean? Have you ever listened to what Narcan Nate has to say?
I watched some of Narcan Nate's stuff, and he does great things. You know, the showering he does for the homeless, the packaging. Narcan Nate's, I think, ideology is that where they're trying to cause hysteria.
Yeah.
Amongst us, right? So let's say even if some of it is true and some of it's not true, right? Which we're always going to get fake news in this world. To say all of it is not true, I personally can't agree with that. Because even if this much of it is true, and even if it saves one life, that maybe these packages are, you know what I'm saying, dressed as disguised candy. You know what I'm saying? To say all of it is not true without actually having the facts to say it. He does have facts, and he has people that you know, that are, you know, finding things out and stuff. And listen, I get it, right? The DEA is probably part of the problem, right? But there's also people that work in the DEA that are not a part of the problem. People that are working in government that are not part. Us addicts don't like to be judged as another addict, right? We want you to judge us on how we're living our life. Right. To assume that all of the government is in bed with cartels and stuff like that, it's not fair to the officials and law enforcement that's working their asses off to try to get this stuff off the street, right? So, like, even though maybe the DEA maybe is a part of it, I'd still work with the DEA because there's so many of them out there that want to help this country, that want to clean the streets up, that want to save people's kids. So I can't personally talk about what's true and what's not, especially in a world of social media, right? So I don't, whatever someone says, I'm not even going to tell them they're lying or not. But he, like you said, he makes great points. I don't have the evidence. Andrea is my go-to when it comes to finding out about things coming out there, because Andrea is not just knees deep. She's up to her neck in that part of the world. And if she says it's true, it's like my mother herself is coming down and telling me. And we had this conversation. Andrea and I had this conversation like yesterday, which is funny while you're bringing it up. And I asked her, I said, do you think they're trying to cause hysteria? And you know, she just said, no, she thinks the government's in bed with them and they just don't care about our children.
Well, you know, I like what you said though, you know, if there's just an inkling of truth in there, we got to take action, because the fact is, regardless of what misinformation and information is out there, people are dying from the poisonous attributes of fentanyl. They are dying from that. People are being poisoned, but you know, in this world of the 52 fake out, right, where everything, you know, can be easily construed as, you know, propaganda or some things or not. I love that we're having a conversation, just like trying to feel this out, get a deeper understanding of it, and get people on the right page as far as being able to do what they can to be helpful to the cause.
Yeah. Because I know that there has been, I've seen news articles that talk about fentanyl in weed.
Yeah.
Then I've seen news articles that say that's not true. There is no fentanyl in weed, and that's, scare tactics.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I hear from somebody who says that they know someone who overdosed and died because they got some weed that had fentanyl in it.
Right.
Right. And so it is kind of, it's like this, we're battling, like, it's an uphill battle, right? Because
absolutely,
not only are we battling the actual ingestion of the substance from our youth, or, and not just youth, right?
Right.
A friend of mine 2 months ago died, and it was took a pill and fentanyl in it, right? Now, he was an active drug user.
Right.
But he wasn't, you know, he wasn't thinking he was taking fentanyl, right?
Same with my sister, too, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like complex, because not only are we trying to stop people from dying, right? But we're also trying to address, like, the information and the misinformation of what's getting out there. And to Mike's point, like, yo, if it's true, if it ain't true, right? Like, if the chance that you could smoke weed and actually be laced with fentanyl is there, then maybe, you know,
you better take some precaution.
Yeah, maybe don't smoke weed.
Maybe.
Isn't there always some truth to every lie?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's good to, you know what it is? They're making some part of the population think it's a lie, so they continuously go out and use it and die. Either way, it's like they're winning at it. So I do believe they're playing both sides of the fence, right?
Yeah.
But if it's going to bring awareness to people, like, yo, listen, like, something's not your problem until it becomes your problem, right? And then when it becomes your problem, you wonder why nothing was done about the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So become part of the solution. And part of the solution is to make your children aware that, you know what? Even if it's not, it's going to be. Mm. It's going to be looking like candy. They do make it taste like candy for kids. The guy, Derek, that I was on Dr. Phil with, you know them sugar packets, the sweet and low packets? Yeah. He poured it in his hand and showed everyone in his hand. That's enough fentanyl to kill 500 people.
Damn.
500 people, one sugar packet. There's enough fentanyl coming into the country on a monthly basis to wipe out the 440 million population that we have on a monthly basis. So whether it's true or not that it's in candy, whether it's true or not, it's here. It's here. Yeah. That's the truth, and then that's the reality of this. So it's going to be in everything. It's going to be in everything. And the weed, it probably is sprayed. I would not doubt them to put in it. I wouldn't even doubt them to start shooting it into alcohol or whatever alcohol is coming from the South. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't doubt it that they're shooting it in with a syringe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I read an article with a guy with a Chinese restaurant. He was putting opium in the pasta, and people were getting addicted to his pasta. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, so what stops them from even putting it into the food? Wow.
And that's the one about the weed that always gets me, because, you know, people know that you mix drugs, right? Like, people use meth and fentanyl, or maybe they buy meth that has fentanyl in it, or vice versa, you know? So it's out there, guys. It's happening. It's not like, you know, when I was in high school, you'd go to a party and you'd be out at a kegger somewhere and somebody's passing a joint around, right? Well, that was old pot. Now we've got dispensary pot. If you're going to smoke pot, be safe anyway, because you could, there, those days are gone. We're talking about a drug that has totally changed the landscape. There is nothing safe out there anymore.
No,
you don't
point.
Know anymore. So whether, you know, whatever it is, in as families, coroners even were trying to figure out in the beginning of this, if they were looking at one drug, if you had meth, fentanyl, coke, Xanax that were coming up in a tox report, was that all from the same substance, or were they taken separately, right? We just don't know what's going on out there anymore. And so that's what we want to make everybody aware of. And regardless, if it's, you're talking about finding fentanyl powder on a baby table in the women's bathroom or whatever it is, you got to be careful.
Yeah.
So that's what we want our kids to know. That's the bottom line. So
that's a great way to put it, Andrea. I love
and,
that.
you know, we talk about, especially in Colorado, we're talking about putting these test strips in school and everything, and we give our kids such a false sense of security. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool. The tools are great. That's fine. But we've got to teach them prevention, and they've got to not only know what's going on, but they need to understand. Our kids are smart.
Yeah.
They know what's going on. So, and when they don't, we need to let them know, and it will help them to make better decisions.
I love that. You know, two things that came to mind whenever you and Mike both were talking was, number one, you know, you putting it in that, you know, the way that guy described it, pouring that sugar packet out and saying how much, how many people that can affect. That definitely gives me a clear mind of
people.
Yeah. So that gives me a clear understanding of why the distribution of that would be so marketable and so profitable. If that little bit could, you know, could get so many people intoxicated, just that little bit, I understand the money side of it, right?
Hi, that packet could kill. That packet
right.
could kill.
Yeah.
100 people.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
A sugar packet. That's how, you know, that's how potent it is.
Yeah. We had a guest on a couple months ago, and she was a meth addict for years, and she even talked about how toward the end of her meth use that she was noticing that the meth was different, right? Mm. And that it was zoning her out more, and it wasn't as, it just wasn't the same high, right?
Yeah.
But she was so addicted that she just kept using it. And yeah. what she came to find out was that her meth was cut with fentanyl, which, you know, it seems counterintuitive, right? Like, right. it ain't the same. Those two things ain't even the same. Like, you know, some of us like uppers.
Right.
I was an upper guy. Like,
you smoke a 50 rock and it got laced with fentanyl, right. it doesn't even make sense.
And then some
sense.
People like downers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if I'm looking for uppers and I get something and it's supposed to get me up and it don't, yeah. Why would I go back to that dealer? And that's where it's like, it's complex, but it's also kind of like it's spooky.
Yeah.
Because how is this getting in here? Why is it getting in here? Why package it up like candy? Is this, and this is to, Andrea was the one that we used this for the first time, right?
Yeah.
I'm not blaming Andrea,
right.
but I'm just saying. And it was that it's a national security risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like some serious level stuff.
Serious level of death being caused from it. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah.
You know, that's a murder, bro. You know, there's no other way you can look at it.
Towards the end with the cocaine with me, I was sniffing a 50 bag of coke and going to sleep, dude.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Like, the cocaine was putting me to bed. Like, right. I'm an upper guy. Like, I would do cocaine and opiates together, right? The cocaine was putting me to bed. I was even having, like, now that I'm able to look back at it, like, I was having, like, these mini seizures after sniffing 2-3 lines. Like, I'd have to sit and, like, my eyes would close, I would be coherent, but my body would be twitching.
Mm.
Like, I didn't even know what was going on. Like, and then with cocaine and crack, there's no physical withdrawal from that. That was a mood thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I work in treatment now. You know what I'm saying? People are coming in having physical withdrawals from the dependency to cocaine and crack. It's different. The Oxycontin. Remember that run with the Oxycontin? They made it a gel thing so you couldn't crush it and shoot it no more.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the M's, the Roxy's, the M's were able to take over so quickly before fentanyl because they never did that with them. You're allowed to crush it up. You're allowed to sniff it. You're allowed to smoke it. You're allowed to shoot it up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the fentanyl is able to get through everyone because they didn't make that into a gel one where it had
it's difficult
to
do that.
Yeah. Time release coating on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then when the M's first came out, there was V's, there was A's, there was M's. Everyone liked the M's because they were a little bit bigger than the A's and the V's. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then what happens to the A's and the V's? They just disappear. Mm. It stood the M's. So if you're not getting your pills from a doctor or a pharmacy, you are not buying Roxy's no more. You are buying pressed pills, and you're playing Russian roulette with 6 bullets in the chamber and think it won't happen to you and then make your family have to survive without you and blaming themselves because they couldn't help you.
No, that's a great point. And I want to say something really quick here is that I want to give a big shout out to my man, Narcan Nate, because man, you are making moves out there. You're being so helpful. I know like what you're doing and I follow you. I'm always rocking out with you. And I know you're a great dude. And I get, I get it. I get why, you know, where he's frustrated and what he wants to do. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, unfortunately, you know, and this is to Andrea's point. Unfortunately, we live in a country where we just argue about
everything.
We just argue about like, no, that's not true. It's not like this. I mean, we do this like back and forth and we get caught up in that besides and not taking action for the problem. You know, it's like, oh, this is true. No, that's not true. You said this, you said that. And like, right. We get caught up in that argument. You know, you see it on all social media platforms and crazy. That's what makes things trend is like objection and like the argument of it. Right.
Right.
But the conflict is what gets people.
So what we should be doing right now is arguing with each
right.
other.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And I want to tell you, this is awesome bullshit. I'm just playing. No, I'm just playing.
All right.
No, but the thing is real
go
quick.
Ahead, go ahead. Yeah. We got some questions online, but you're finish point.
It is about helping people live. It's not about, you know, what's this and what's that. It's about people are dying. Let's do our best to stop that from happening anymore.
Yeah. So this question I think is for Andrea. Are drug dealers convicted of misdemeanor or manslaughter if they're found guilty of selling something that's been laced with fentanyl?
Okay, so this is a really big problem. These cases are very hard to convict. So if you have a distribution resulting in death charge, very hard to convict at a state level. The feds, pretty straight across. I wish all of our drug laws mirrored a lot of the feds because they're easier to prosecute. At a state law level, our law enforcement, their hands are tied in almost every state. And so these distribution resulting in death laws, some of the organizations like mine, they look at this in all different ways. Some people will call it drug-induced homicide, murder. But bottom line, when you give something to somebody that's deceptive and appears like something else, they don't know what they're taking, and they die, you have poisoned them. You killed them. You murdered them. However you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. So no, I think we really need to look at our laws. And, you know, it's difficult because like in Colorado, we just had went through fentanyl legislation. And the biggest point of contention with lowering these grams, because Colorado had this 4-gram law that was terrible. So 4 grams of fentanyl were a misdemeanor. Well,
I didn't know that.
It's ridiculous. So we go through the legislation this last year and we get it back down to 1. Well, there is no safe amount of fentanyl, so it should be 0. Mm. But in my opinion, it should be 0. So then the question comes up, are we just arresting our way out of this? And are we going to be arresting addicts that might have 10 pills? Because a gram is about 10 pills. And no, we don't want to just be arresting people that are buying for their own use or trading for their own use, whatever it is. We need to get these distributors, and people really need to. We're hitting this season in November, right, where it's time to vote. Mike and I were having this conversation today. We need to get people involved and have them look at their candidates and see who is strong on fentanyl, because it is one of the biggest problems in the United States right now. So we get parents coming to us all the time thinking that because they know the dealer and it's on a phone, the information's on the phone, that the cops can go pick them up and arrest them and they're going to be prosecuted. Not the case at all. A huge problem.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, there was, you know, the case for Mac Miller, mm-hmm. and Mac Miller died from illicit fentanyl poisoning. Mm-hmm. That because it was such a high profile case, they did convict his dealers, right? I think a couple of them got significant amount of time for manslaughter, right? Mm-hmm. But that's such a high profile case.
Yeah.
And so I think it had a lot of eyeballs on it. Mm-hmm. But for what's really sad is for the parents of, you know, normal Americans who are losing children to this and loved ones, that they might have not have the means and the opportunity to get things really looked at, right? And right. And this is kind of going back to that idea of overdose and drug addicted mm-hmm. behavior, right? Well, they were a drug addict. They yeah. overdosed. That's kind of their thing. There's no need to chase it any further.
Yeah.
And the thing is we have to start really chasing these things further down because mm-hmm. you need to determine, you know, is this just a, you know, an overdose? And even so, it should be looked into, right?
Right.
But, or is this an illicit fentanyl poisoning where yeah. someone was given something that they didn't know was going to be laced with illicit fentanyl? And the thing is like, and Andrea uses terminology of illicit fentanyl, right? Because this is not the same fentanyl that you would, it's not like they're going robbing pharmacies. Yeah,
see, that's another thing. I wish it even had a different name, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that just kind of dilutes the whole understanding of everything, because this is not, you know, a pharmacy just pushing out fentanyl and it's hitting the street in that manner. It's illicit fentanyl. I don't know why they call it what makes it the same thing, because it's not made the same.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's a whole different process, man. There's no pharmacist where there's probably some underground lab techs right. taking care of the process. You know right. what I mean? Yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah.
You know?
And just to piggyback on what Andrea's talking about with, you know, the midterms coming and stuff like that. Listen, locking up drug dealers is like firing cashiers at a goddamn supermarket, man. You know, they're just going to get it the other one. We have to go after the distributors. Yeah. And, you know, Mac Miller, I'm glad you brought that up. Huge high-profile case, views, newspapers. Your child that's been lost, or your family member that's been lost, or your addict's family member that's in the grips of addiction is just as important as Mac Miller. You know what I'm saying? Our voice needs to become one voice. We are the population. We need to come together and use the one power that they give us that we take for granted, and that's our ability to vote. That is our strongest power. Mm. That is our weapon against what's going on in this country. So let's stop not making it to the polls. Let's start working together and getting the people in them seats that can make people hold accountable. And if we can't find them, then we start getting ourselves put in them seats, because we know who we have to hold accountable. So that, you know, that the voting is our weapon that we don't take advantage of, because we'll never argue politics and not even make it there to vote. People are in politics that don't even freaking vote. You know right. what I'm saying? Let's come together. This is why the recovery community and the families affected. That's why Inspire and Voices for Awareness are now working together, because we are the population. Now we need you to do your research on the people that are running. We need you to use that power that you have to vote, because we're the ones that hold the power. We're the ones that work the factories. We're the ones that drive the truck. We're the ones that are waking up doing 9 to 5s, paying taxes so they could start making laws and stuff from a swank office. That time is over. We can yeah. take our power back. Use the power that you have of voting, and please go out there and do. You don't know how to do your research? Reach out to Andrea or myself, and we will help you find out how to get that research done.
Yeah, and awesome. Right now is a really good time to send those potential senators.
It's about to be November, boys.
Right, those potential elected officials an email.
Yeah.
Because right now there are going to be fully staffed with volunteers, mm-hmm. and it's really as straightforward as, what's your stance?
What's your stance on this?
On illicit fentanyl.
Yeah.
What's your stance on these things? And they will respond, because right now they're working for that vote.
Yes, they are.
So they are going to respond. Are there any other, Andrea or Mike, any other tips or anything that you would say to somebody who was looking to go to their potential elected officials and ask them questions? Is there anything that you guys point them to, or?
Yeah, I'd say watch the debates. We just came from ours in Colorado last night, our gubernatorial debate. And, you know, years ago, I didn't sit down and watch all of these debates when I was younger. And but it's very important. And you're going to see what these people are running on, and you're going to see these issues that are important. And, you know, our kids are so, they should be at the top of that list. This, you know, you've got kids going onto social media and drug dealers right there sitting in your own living room at your kitchen table with your kids, basically, through these phones. And so we need to start thinking about a lot of the issues, but for us it's fentanyl. And
did that get
I like what
Did fentanyl come up in the debates that you went to?
It came up. Cool. Yeah, it did come up with all of the candidates. And good. So you know, some of these people have track records already. So I'm really looking at people in Colorado right now and saying, okay, you're talking about fentanyl this week because we're getting close to a race here to the vote. But what did you do for the last 4 years?
It's about the follow through.
Kind of things. Yeah.
Holding them accountable afterwards. Yeah.
But what I like about working with Mike, and he said this the other day, because, you know, Affected Families, my organization, we work on legislation a lot, right? We're going to go right to the top. But what Mike is doing is he's working now. He's in the trenches right now. And so I love that we are working with the recovery community, because they're not going to wait for all of that, right? They're going to do it now.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. And so that's the important part about prevention, is that we can get out right now. We don't have to wait for any laws to pass or legislation to pass or see who's sitting at that table in government. We can get out there and we can tell people about prevention, and we can save lives that way. And he breaks it down really simple, and I love that, because we don't have time. We're out of time. It's an emergency.
No more long form conversation. We need some long term facts.
This episode alone.
Yeah.
You know how many people we probably lost just during this episode alone? What is it? Every 5 or 8 minutes, Andrea?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. About every 5 minutes. I mean, it's in the time that we're doing this show, this episode, how many people have we lost? And what are the real numbers? Because there's still people not getting tested. Yeah. We've got people that are going in, getting picked up on a suspected overdose, and they're going into the hospital. They're not even being tested right. It took a long time to even get where we are right now. Fentanyl testing in an autopsy was not a standard thing, and it still isn't every place. So we don't know how much larger the numbers really are. But with the loss of life that we've had already, why aren't we screaming this from the rooftops everywhere? Whether it was 7 people or 5 people, or if they were all adults or all kids or whatever the situation. If somebody, God forbid, there was a school shooting and we lose 5 children, that would be national news everywhere. And so when we hear about these mass overdoses, they call them mass poisonings in high schools or something like that, then we get it on the news. But what about the 300 people a day that are dying every day?
Yeah, you know, that's a big thing.
Why isn't that on the news?
I think that's a big thing that needs to change. We got to change our perspective on this, man.
Yeah.
We got to change the viewers, like how we're viewing this, you know. And I'm so happy that you guys are here. I think we covered some really good topics so far. I think we talked about the misinformation and how to, you know, get through that. We talked about poisoning versus an overdose and what's really happening. We talked about, you know, the trickery and all this, like people are being fooled into their own deaths, and that, you know, our people are being poisoned by the minute, you know. So I think these are some great talking points that we kind of talked about here and discussed. Now, one thing I would like to know from you and Mike is, so what's coming up for you guys? What moves are you guys making, you know, in the near future to keep this movement going?
Well, soon.
I do want to show everyone this.
Oh, yeah.
Let Andrea elaborate on this. So this is the new Narcan called Kloxxado. So like it's the 8 milligram. It's made specifically for fentanyl and call fentanyl. You know, Narcan was made for heroin. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why we have to shoot people up 4 or 5 times. What this does, I don't know if you ever had to shoot someone up with Narcan. It's not a situation you could prepare yourself for. Mm-hmm. You know, someone's dying. So, you know, that anxiety comes in. You shoot them once, you get nervous. You're supposed to wait 2-3 minutes to shoot them again. You're banging them out quickly. This eliminates a lot of that. So I'm going to let Andrea speak a little bit more about this.
Thanks for showing up.
We've been out there distributing Kloxxado because this is a naloxone that comes in, you know, it's double the amount in in one of these vials. And with fentanyl, you have to hit people two or three times, sometimes even more. So this is a really important product. We see, we're hearing from people about the reversals that are happening. And
so is this a stronger version of Narcan? Is that what it is? Is this stronger? Yeah. Okay.
Is it the same, like through the nasal passage, or is this it?
Okay. So all the packaging is the same.
And I'll show you guys. So look, it's the same exact thing, same process.
Oh, okay.
The only thing that's different is that it's stronger, and you know it'll save lives a lot quicker, because we should all be walking around with this, because you never know. You know what I'm saying? The bus driver, you never know. You're in the supermarket, and someone.
Yeah.
That's how serious this is right now. Like, you have to walk around with this, and then people are like, "Well, you should." The shouldn't would have. It's done and over with. This is here, and this is happening. This is reality. Stop thinking you're going to be tiptoe around this problem and have it not come your way. It's not just going to come in your way. It's going to knock you off your ass when it does. Mm-hmm. Understand that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's so we're good, trying to get this into the schools, and but not just as a standalone.
Right.
We need to get prevention in with this. So we're not putting this in boxes and putting it in the schools just so kids can have that, like we had talked about with the test strips, right? We need to teach them prevention, but the schools need to be equipped with things to be able to safeguard these kids, right? These kids are overdosing, getting poisoned in schools. And if the teachers are educated themselves, because so many are not, so many teachers are not. And so this reversal or antidote being in the schools and everywhere, like Mike said, whether you are in a movie theater or the grocery store or wherever you are, this is prevalent. It's happening everywhere. And people need to know how to handle it. So everybody should be just as well informed about the antidote, about naloxone, as they possibly can.
That's cool. I love that. Thank you. That's the first time I've ever heard of that. You guys is bringing it up here. Yeah. So that's great information for us. I really want to look into that. But again, though, you know, what's going on with the two foundations coming together as on an organized front? You know, what's in the works?
So we are heading to Montana soon, and probably to the East Coast too. We have so many things going on with the legislation, trying to get. You know, there's all this COVID funding that's happened that was out there, and it's unused now. And so we're trying to get those monies used for prevention in schools. They're already there. Let it happen. Kids need this. And so we're working on a lot of legislation. And with Mike, we're just trying to unite, to bring so many more people together. More power, more voices, and we're spreading the same message. And so why aren't we working together? So it's been a very good learning experience for me. And Mike teaches me something every day that's new, and he never stops. But Montana's really struggling. And so that's a highlight.
I heard that. I heard that. It's really going on up there in Montana, man. And me personally, I'm just thinking about like mooses and things like that in Montana. I'm not thinking about fentanyl in Montana.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, exactly. We're going to take a team up there, Mike being one of them, and we're going to sweep Montana and get into these schools and get these parents some education and these teachers some education.
That is so cool, man.
And I mean, what I have to, so whether you have a nonprofit, whatever it is, you got a community, we want to help you. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be nationwide, ready nationwide. If you want to get involved with bringing awareness and prevention, you just think you're one person, you can't do it, reach out to myself, reach out to Andrea, even reach out to Chris and Dave. You know what I'm saying? There's so many people out there that are making moves. Just reach out and be like, how can I help? Tell us where you are. Tell us what state you're in. Tell us which city you're in. We'll find whatever councilman. We'll find whatever recovery center. That's one thing about us addicts, man. We're foot soldiers. We're out there doing it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we need you to become this voice that we're trying to become, this one voice, right? You're already part of the population. I heard a quote, and ever since I heard the quote, it changed my life, right? And the quote is, society society gets better when old men plant trees in which the shade they will not experience, right? Mm. So we need to start planting trees for the younger generations that are way after us, that we won't even get to sit underneath that tree, because that's the only way society gets better. So if you want to get involved, if you don't know how to get involved, if you have a story and you want to get your story out there, reach out to one of us, reach out to anybody, because your story is unique. Your pain is the way that we're brought together. The world needs to hear your story. I don't care what the story is. I don't care if you got a needle in your arm right now. I don't care what you did. I don't care what you're doing or what you're about to do. You have value. We need you. This world would be less of a place if something happened to you, because you have a gift inside of you that God gave you. And that gift is deserved. The world deserves to know that gift. Let us help you make that gift a reality, and let us help you save lives just like we're trying.
Yeah, no, that's great. You know, one thing I look at, Mike, I look at you and Andrea, and, you know, one thing about Christian and I and the Most High Show and what we really represent is ending the stigma. And you guys just working together is ending the stigma, because Andrea, you know, you've already said it repeatedly, the help that you are getting, even though this is a nationwide thing affecting all people, the help that you are getting from the recovery community and you guys working in collaboration is just amazing to me. I mean, that's a stigma ender right there. You know, Christian just did a clip that just sticks with me big time, you know, talking about the difference between somebody in active addiction and the and somebody in recovery, and just the power and like the want to be helpful, and like the change of somebody in recovery and the service that follows that in that recovery. I mean, that's a powerful group of people, man. I don't think you want to mess with us,
right?
Seriously, because we're about action. We're about moves.
Value, but they will.
You better believe it, man. Christian, you got anything else you want to add to this?
No, I mean, I think this has been really good, really informative. We're going to clip this up.
Oh, yes.
And get it out there and share it. And, you know, we're just going to keep telling this story as many times as we need to.
Yeah.
And I think, each time that we do it, I think more people are getting exposed to it, and more people are talking about it. And whatever we can do to continue to be supportive to either of you on however, whatever level it can be, whether it's getting the word out, whether it's getting our hands dirty, whatever we can do, you know, we're all in this together, to your guys' point.
You better believe that.
Yeah, whatever we can do, we're here for y'all.
Listen, Mike, can you give just like some insight on both of your guys' organizations so that people can hear who exactly you are, so they can like have some handles and stuff like that, some plugs.
So I mean, I lost my mother on Thanksgiving after just becoming drug free off of methadone 3 weeks into it. And when I lost my mother, you know what I'm saying, I never thought I'd be able to feel the love a mother gives a child. And Andrea's given me that. Andrea, God bless me with Andrea, and the love I get from Andrea is like unconditional love. So I do want to say that first and foremost. So Andrea Thomas is the co-founder, executive of Voices for Awareness and Facing Fentanyl. Those are the families affected by fentanyl. Those are people that have lost children, lost family members, took their pain and put it into action. Sounds similar, no? To addicts, turning our pain into action.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We're exactly fighting the same battle. I'm Michael Fiore, CEO and founder of Inspire to Inspire. Why Inspire to Inspire? Because we all have something inside of us that can inspire someone else, regardless of what you look like, regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless of what you did. Just looking at Andrea and I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We inspire each other daily. We're fighting the fight from different avenues, but you know what? We're all fighting the same fight. So let's all just stand on the line together and start fighting this together. If you want to get involved, reach out to one of us. If you want to learn about the people that are running for office in your city or your state, reach out to us. If you have information about the people that are running in your state or if you just want to be help, if you just want to volunteer, reach out to us, because the bigger and stronger we get, the louder and louder our voice gets, and the louder and louder we get, they're going to have to listen to us, or we're going to steamroll over them, and we're going to fix the problem ourselves. One way or another, we're going to get this.
Yeah, man. And you know what? We're going to get you out here to Atlanta. You know, again, you know, I'm hoping Rhonda Lucas gets to hear this. And, you know, there's something going on out here as far as, you know, facing fentanyl and getting to the root of all this and making, doing action steps to like, get this shit out of here, man. We got to do something about this, people. What the hell is going on, man? You know what I'm saying, man? I want to thank you both, man. It's an honor to have you guys. Man, I get hyped up when Mike speaks. Period. You know what I'm saying? I just get hyped up. Sometimes I don't even know what he's talking about. I still get hyped up. You know what I mean? But I just love you guys. I love the moves that you guys are making. I love seeing action behind movement, and I'm seeing it with you guys. If you guys don't know out there, man, Mike's was just on Dr. Phil, man. You know, putting it out there on behalf of the community and everything like that. So, man, these people are working tirelessly to ending the poisoning of innocent lives in our nation, y'all. This is the real deal. This is something really happening. It doesn't matter what community you belong to, what you're doing. People are dying, and they're dying quickly, and we want to be a part of resolving this freaking poisoning, this killing of our people in the streets. We need people to look at this from a different perspective and see it for what it is. This is not just a active addiction overdosing situation at all. There are people being poisoned and they are dying and they have no idea what they're doing before it happens. All right, lives are being taken, guys. Again, Mike, Andrea, we love you, dude. We're going to get together. We're going to make something happen on a different level. And thank you all for tuning in to The Most High Show.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
That was awesome, guys.
Good job, guys. Thank you.